Good morning, everyone. I'm Simiao from Agora House Church. My apologies for not being able to make it in person to the sanctuary this morning. However, I really enjoyed his words when I was studying for today's scriptures, so I hope you will too. Now, let me start today's EMP by reading out the prayer from the One App. Dear Father God, to us, who is Jesus is a determining question. It affects our choice to live out a life of Satan or as children of God. May God teach us not to be mistaken nor live our life in vain. Now, let me pray that God blesses us and lets us live a meaningful life to thrive in God's will for His kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, today's reading is from Mark 8:27 to 38 and the first verse from the next chapter, Mark 9:1. Mark 8:27 to 38. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And he said these plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Mark 9:1. And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Now today's sharing starts with a big question. Who is Jesus? And this leads me to asking myself, who am I? Or rather, what am I? In my journey of following Christ, how often am I the vessel for my Father Lord versus how often am I a tool of Satan? I want to start with the ending of today's scripture and then I will move back to the beginning of the reading. Now, the ending of today's reading actually sounds very promising as it says, some of them will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. Jesus is here promising some of his disciples glimpses of that power and glory. But this can only come if we are serious about following Jesus and that we are willing to understand Jesus' heart for us. So let's not forget to go back to prior to this promise when Jesus was lecturing his disciples very sternly and giving his tough love in his teaching. I will break this into three parts. Two questions, two rebukes, and three ways. Number one, two questions. Jesus asks two very tough questions. Question one, who do people say that I am? Question two, who do you say that I am? People see Jesus as John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets, but Jesus is more than a national reformer, more than a miracle worker, more than a prophet. And here, Peter is giving the right answer. He says, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, but very soon he will change. That leads to number two, two rebukes. After Jesus reveals his mission, Peter rebukes Jesus and Jesus rebukes Peter. Now, Jesus starts to teach that the Son of Man must suffer, be killed, and rise again. The suffering and death of Jesus are a must because of two great facts. Number one, our sin. Number two, God's love. Now, here's when things get interesting. While Peter has previously been able to give the moral answer by saying that Jesus is Christ, the Messiah, he now changes his mind. He doesn't like the idea that what Jesus really means by being the Messiah. So Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter simply lets his mind settle on things of men instead of the things of God. He has just spoken for God, but now he speaks for Satan. Peter probably isn't aware of this, the fact that he has been used by Satan. Now, Peter's inconsistency here causes me to reflect upon questions I raised earlier on. How quickly can we shift from being willing to be God's vessel to becoming a tool of the devil? Who am I in this journey of following Christ? Which tool am I in each situation? A good vessel or the devil's tool? My weaknesses can so easily lead me to swinging from one end to the other in no time. So Jesus giving his tough love reprimands Peter. He says this, "Get behind me, Satan." Apparently, we don't have to be demon-possessed for Satan to use us. What we need to be is on guard, lest we are unwittingly used. Now, number three, there are three ways that we could do to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Now, Jesus warns those who want to follow him. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. There are three ways we can do that. A, give up our life. B, give up the world. C, give up our pride. A, give up our life. We can't gain resurrection life without dying first. In the Bible, it says, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Now, this is my favorite part as I was reading the commentary. It says this, "You don't lose a seed when you plant it, though it seems dead and buried." So I guess it means when you plant a seed, you must bury it. After it's buried, you can see it. But by not seeing it doesn't mean it's dead. In fact, it means you set the seed free to be whatever it was supposed to be. So let us understand that God's will is greater, is higher. B, give up the world. We will end up losing everything if we cling on to the world's things, to the worldly things. The worldly things can bring us a certain level of happiness, but only in Christ can we experience great joy. C, give up our pride. Now, Jesus, when he was in this world as human, he was despised and he was executed. Now, we human beings, we are so proud. We can be prouder than we thought. Our pride keeps us away from Jesus, from being close to Jesus. we may deny him, right? We could if we were living his time. But if we are ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. Now, Jesus has sacrificed his life for us. What price are you willing to pay for God? Are we obstructing the work of God? Who is Jesus to us? Who are we for him? Now, let's reflect on these questions as I close us with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We want to come and humble ourselves, repent of all the sins we have. And we ask that, Father Lord, you come and cleanse us, come and speak to us, send us the Holy Spirit and connect our spirit to the Holy Spirit. Let us learn the true meaning of who Jesus is. Let us understand that only in God can we learn that God is greater. Jesus is the one who's leading us. And the fact that God has given us Jesus is what we need to be thankful for. And Father Lord, we just ask that as we are going into worship time, you allow us as we worship, really reflect upon the questions that we ask in here. Let us repent on our weaknesses. Let us allow Jesus to forgive us and give us our real identity. And let us be sensitive to be used by God. And we pray all this with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.